Top of the morning to you. It's Bob O'Sarat on St. Patrick's Day, Wednesday, March 17, coming up on 11 minutes after 8. Dean Richards joining us. Well, you heard it here first yesterday. We forced Ravinia to announce their plan, don't you think?
I do. I think we sort of blackmailed them into making the announcement. I'm sure it had nothing to do with the fact that the Cubs also announced the Wrigley Field concerts yesterday. Right. As well, but you know, it was great news either way that we got a couple of steps back toward normalcy with the Wrigley Field concerts. All of the shows that got canceled last year, most of them, all except two, have been rescheduled for this year. So that gives us Chris Stapleton this year on July the 17th, Guns N' Roses on the 21st of July. After that, it's the Hella Mega Tour with Green Day, Fall Out Boy, and Weezer on August 15th, Lady Gaga on August 27th, Def Leppard and Motley Crue August 29th, and Maroon 5 will be on August the 30th. They have not yet announced dates for the rescheduled Zac Brown concert, nor Dead and Company. So we'll keep an eye out for that. But in the meantime, we also don't know how many people they're going to actually let in to these shows. Mayor Lightfoot about a week ago said that for Cubs games and White Sox games, it would be about 8,000 people or 20% of capacity. So we don't know whether or not that will also apply to the concerts where people actually sit on the field, and they're going to be more spread out. So, when we get the word on that, the Cubs haven't said anything about that, nor what the COVID-19 protocols are going to be. If you are holding tickets for any of these shows from last year, those tickets will still be honored. If you are not, they made it really convenient with this easy-to-remember URL to buy tickets, mlb.com/cubs/tickets/concerts. We put a link up on our site, so you can easily access that. I don't know why they just don't make it easier for people.
I imagine that by the fall, everybody is going to be out touring because so many artists have had to cancel. Right.
Yeah. That's seems to be the case. It's going to be interesting if you've got Guns N' Roses or Lady Gaga or some of these supergroups playing at Wrigley Field, but only 20% of capacity can be inside the stadium. That's going to be interesting. But all the artists do want to be back out on the road again. They miss it tremendously. How they're going to be set up, the band has to be spread out more on the stage. Even in the fall, probably going to still be looking at some of these protocols. And that's part of what they said at Ravinia when we forced them to make their announcement yesterday. They also said that live concerts would be returning. They have only said that they will open their season in July and that it'll be a mix of classical, pop, and chamber music, that all of the shows there are going to be performed outside in the open-air pavilion with reduced audience capacity, with socially distanced seating, and the number of artists on the stage also will be reduced. They've been working with Northwestern Medicine to make sure they're following all of the proper guidance and proper protocols. Now, they have not announced any of their concerts yet. They said that they'll put out the full lineup in late April, so I'm sure we'll learn more about how these are actually going to work. If you want to take a look at the information that's available now, you can always go to ravinia.org. And if we're not satisfied with that, Bob and I are only too happy to pressure them again to twist their arms again to release information to us.
Yes, we will. And I assume if the numbers are going in the right direction and we continue to mask up and wash up and back up, and I would add shoot up, get the vaccine, but that sounds awful, so I would just say get the vaccine. If we do all those good things, these numbers people being allowed into the shows and so forth are going to increase as the year goes on, you would hope.
You would think. You would think, you know, I don't know at what point they decide, you know, it's okay to add more people. You know, I guess they're going to look at positivity rates and, you know, how many people are getting the vaccine. Are we at a point of herd immunity at some point? I mean, that's something that everyone has been hoping would happen sooner than later. But, you know, right now they're saying, you know, at least summertime for that. Mm-hmm. If people follow all the protocols now and we don't wind up going backwards, like, you know, some places have. Their numbers went down. People started not wearing masks and not social distancing and really going back to normal. And the numbers went back up again. We don't want that to happen.
Well, one thing that would help, everybody get the vaccine. Stop with the nonsense about Bill Gates injecting a chip in your arm.
Right.
Forget about it.
Right.
Let's move on to the latest controversy and what's new with Sharon Osbourne.
Yeah, this is a little bit disturbing. I mean, the show The Talk on CBS has been off the air for about a week because of some serious allegations that have been made and the controversy that got stirred up when Sharon Osbourne was defending Piers Morgan and what he was saying about Meghan Markle and the royal family and about racism. A couple of former hosts on the show have come forward, and the New York Post is reporting that Osbourne is accused of making racist statements about her co-hosts and homophobic statements about her co-host. Leah Remini, who was one of the co-hosts on season one, said that Osbourne made racist statements about Julie Chen's Chinese heritage, using very disparaging language about Julie Chen, and likewise about Sarah Gilbert's sexual orientation. Former host Holly Robinson Pete, who is African American, said that Osbourne said that she was too ghetto to be on the show, and asked, "Can't we find somebody else who's black who's funny?" A publicist for Osbourne is defending her, saying that she has shown her co-workers nothing but kindness and is disappointed and hardly surprised by these lies, recasting of history, and bitterness. CBS has not had any comment, but they are doing, they keep, the show is going to remain in hiatus until they resolve their investigation and figure out, you know, what's going to happen. But right now, it's not looking so good for Sharon Osbourne.
Dean, tell us about this Aretha Franklin series. Is this going to be more than one? Is that it?
Yeah, it's an 8-episode series. If you watch the National Geographic Channel, you probably have seen their Genius series. They did one on Einstein and, you know, famous figures and examine their lives. And this new series is going to feature Aretha Franklin. It's going to star Emmy, Tony, and Grammy Award winner Cynthia Erivo playing the Queen of Soul. And it, you know, starts at Aretha's early life, growing up with a very strict father who did not want her singing secular music, going through a troubled life, a difficult life, but conquering the music world. Cynthia Erivo does a really nice job with this. We did one of these Zoom chats with her recently, and we talked a little bit about taking on this very formidable role. You know, playing somebody who's so instantly identifiable is no easy task.
It was a combination of, I'm really excited to do this. Oh my God, am I going to do this right? Am I going to do this well? I can't wait to be able to tell this story. And I love this music and I love this woman. Please let me get this right. You know, there's a combination. That's all the conversation that goes on in my head the entire time, because this overwhelming sense of wanting to get it right, this overwhelming sense of responsibility to honor the life that was Aretha Franklin. I wanted to make sure that the qualities that she had in her singing style, in her voice, were there, but trying to mimic her voice, I don't know that would serve anyone. And I also think that would have been a distraction, because it's like, is she doing an impersonation? Is it quite right? Is like, that doesn't, I don't think that helps to tell the story. So I from the offset, I told myself that it's not an impersonation. It's I'm trying to make sure that we understand the mechanics of how she was using her voice a lot. And so for me, it just took a lot of listening and listening to the way she would sing a song and making sure that we could get it to a T, but without completely changing what I already have in my own voice.
It is going to be. It is called Genius Aretha. It's going to premiere this coming Sunday on the National Geographic Channel. They're going to run two episodes that night, and then for the next three nights, two more episodes each night. It will wind up on Hulu. They're going to put the whole thing on there beginning Thursday, March the 25th. That would have been Aretha Franklin's 79th birthday. And a lot of people are, you know, asking me, "What is this replacing the Jennifer Hudson movie about Aretha Franklin?" It is not. This is a TV series, an eight-part TV series, the Aretha Franklin biopic, for which Aretha handpicked Jennifer Hudson to play her in the movie. It's still scheduled for release on August the 13th. So we're going to have a lot of Aretha this year.
Well, she's a great subject, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
Saturday Night Live news. What's going on?
Yeah, they announced, with the Academy Award nominations that came out this week, they announced that two of the nominees will be hosting SNL leading up to the Oscars. Daniel Kaluuya, who got a nomination for Best Supporting Actor playing Fred Hampton in Judas and the Black Messiah, will be hosting on April the 3rd. He'll be on with musical guest St. Vincent. And then the following Saturday, it will be Carey Mulligan, who got an Oscar nomination for Best Actress in the movie Promising Young Woman. She will be hosting with musical guest Kid Cudi. So those should be a couple of pretty good episodes. The Academy Awards this year, super late, April the 25th. But, you know, leading up to that, it makes perfect sense.
Pretty interesting cover of Time Magazine. Is this the new issue we're talking about?
This is the new issue of Time Magazine that just came out. And on the cover is actor Elliot Page. Elliot Page was formerly known as Ellen Page, nominated for an Oscar in the movie Juno. In December, Elliot Page came out as transgender, and there is a very extensive article about his struggle, feeling like he was in the wrong body. So Elliot Page now reveals that he has had surgery to remove his breasts, and says that he now feels like himself, that he is completely transformed and actually feels like himself. Although he said that for other people who are trans, surgery, you know, may not be necessary. But it's a very interesting article. I don't know a lot about this. I don't know a lot about what goes on inside of a person when they decide to come out as being transgender. It gives you a great insight into it, a greater understanding of what people are going through with this. So on newsstands now.
A worthwhile read, no doubt. I know you have to go because it's St. Joseph's Pasta Day on WGN-TV, isn't
it? Yeah, I know it's weird to be cooking Italian food on St. Patrick's Day, but I did corned beef and cabbage last week, and I'm trying to give you a few days ahead of time to prepare some of these recipes. So if you want my corned beef and cabbage recipe, we've got it. If you search Dean Cooks on Google, it'll take you right to my recipe for that. But this coming weekend, this coming Friday, is St. Joseph's Day, very traditional day for Italian families, and there is a very traditional pasta dish that is served, and I'm going to be cooking that today. Before I go, also, I wanted just to congratulate Bob on a nice honor being bestowed upon him by the Better Business Bureau. He's receiving the Diogenes Award for Excellence in Media. So that's a nice honor for you. The president of the Better Business Bureau, our old pal Steve Burness, says that, you know, what you've done supports and fosters an ethical marketplace for consumers and businesses. You are being honored, and so is the legendary Pam Zechman as well.
That old DJ is worth listening to.
Yeah, Pam and I started together in the summer of 1980-something at Channel 2.
Oh, wow.
I appreciate the award, but basically, I just call the president of the Better Business Bureau up on the show here once in a while to make sure I don't fall for scams, and right. That's why I'm getting an award.
Well, either way, you know, you can't argue. You know, I don't want to say Pam has worked a little harder. She's the one that's sticking her microphone in people's car doors.
Yeah.
And, you know, having doors slammed in her face trying to get to the bottom of some of these things. But
I watched her on TV while eating a sandwich in the comfort of my home. That's right.
An award's an award. Congratulations. It's a nice honor.
Thanks, Dean. Talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.